know, Lord, your plan for me is right. I need you to fulfill your purpose in my life. I submit to you, my King, to be my everything. I'm coming to you again, Lord, here I am. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life, give it all to you. I surrender, I surrender, I surrender my life, give it all to you.
God is good. Amen. If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and get started. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 1. Glory, glory, glory. God is so good. Enjoying the presence of the Lord. And sometimes we just have to enjoy it in spite of it all. Our whole life is that way sometimes. Our walk with God, things we go through. And we just have to learn to live for God in spite of it all, enjoy God in spite of it all. Matthew chapter 1, I'm just going to begin to read here, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now Matthew kicks back into gear here in his writing and says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's pray and ask God to help us today. Amen. Lord, we pray for help today in a clear channel to hear the word of God, to speak the word of God, and to receive something from the word of the Lord that can help us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if you want that help, say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We give God thanks and praise for his word. Now, we could read this because it's upon us the season, right? We could treat it as if it was on a Christmas card, or maybe we were putting on a Christmas pageant, and somebody has to read the verse, and we could read it and read it as is, and think about it and just think about the nativity scene that was about to happen. And we could think about, you know, just the entertainment side of it all and look at it just as the characters who are involved. And we might just miss the whole message. We've talked about some of these things in times past, but there's a message here from the word of the Lord that should help anybody who feels like you've ever been in a position in your life where things, because of him, were not so good. Now notice I said things because of him. Not things you've caused for yourself, but what about the stir that God can stir? What about the controversy? I didn't read all the verses prior to, but this epistle, every epistle here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all start off very uniquely to themselves. And every writer writes based upon why they were writing and in the way God had them write. Matthew writes the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then he begins and lists the genealogy from Abraham to David and David until Christ. 42 generations from Abraham until the time of Jesus. And if you would look back at this genealogy and not just be bored with this one begat this one and that one begat this one and just goes on and on. And then if you really like genealogies, go to Chronicles and go to, you know, the book of Leviticus for some more things in depth about the law and just see how much you feel like reading the Bible is your favorite thing to do. Right? But there's reasons for it all, and it's not just to keep good record-keeping amongst the Israelites. But the Lord just has a wonderful way of writing things in there so that when you will allow yourself to take a look at the Word of God the way He wants you to see it, you will actually take hope that you can live for God. Some people have a hard time with their past. Some people have a hard time with their known lineage. Some people live life based upon the history of their lineage. Some people feel like they'll never rise above their lineage. But I'm here to tell you today from the Word of God and from the testimony of Jesus Christ, from the Spirit of God that He poured upon all flesh, that regardless of what your lineage looks like, you can live for God. Amen. You don't have to be a thing like Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We read 42 generations, and when you begin to pick apart all these individuals and you look at the stories involved with these people, you'll realize that there's lots of scandal here. There are liars, there are murderers, there are adulterers, there are fornicators, there are men sleeping with their daughters-in-law unknowingly, but they did it. There are people disobeying the Lord and being driven into captivity. And that's what you read halfway through the lineage when you get down to one of the sons, Jeconias, who's king of Judah and driven, carried captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And they were carried captive for 70 years because they walked away from God. So you have backsliders in this downline. And yet the scripture says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. He showed up anyway. And He Himself showed up with scandal. I love the Word of God. He has a way of making us feel so good and filling us with so much hope. Can you recall when you first were born of God and maybe some controversy that it might have started, some uncomfortable feelings amongst family members, some skepticism, some doubts, some afflictions, some changes in life because you bounced into the house full of God and what was in the house wasn't. I want to try to paint a reality picture today as briefly as I can, according to my niece. Don't count on it. Hallelujah. But I want to paint a reality picture so that we can kind of appreciate the things that God is doing and we can take hope in them. Not that we want to become scandalous, not that we want to become anything like the lineage, you know, we don't want to try to be as shady as Jacob or as not so nice as Judah. Boy, there's all sorts of story here in this lineage of Christ, but He lists it here. And I thank the Lord He lists it. It's not the biggest part of this message today, but it is the introduction to it all, that when you're sitting in a church house and you feel like maybe your life is the conglomeration of all that was before you, and that's all you have to think about and to look forward to and to judge your life by, I'm here to tell you that when Jesus was born, He was born sinless. In Christ was no sin. He took on the form of a man, but He was not a sinner. Right. Please understand that. Some believe He was a sinner. No, He didn't have to be a sinner to taste death for every man. In fact, He needed to be spotless in order to do what He did. And He was, and the point was that He could come out of a lineage that was not so nice and still show up on the scene anyhow and let everybody know in that lineage and in any future lineage that no matter what's going on, you can still come out of this pure. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it would be good that maybe as bold as the Lord saying to some, you need to stop thinking about your life this way. Stop looking at yourself through the eyes of other people and stop thinking of yourself as just the product of. Well, they were this and they were this, so that means I'm this. Do you really want to live the rest of your life that way? It's all fine and dandy when it's a positive thing, but what if it isn't? Be careful what you believe. And please understand that Jesus, when he steps into the picture, he can change everything. Amen. Hallelujah. He can change everything. Amen. So here now, I want you to hear it. I'm going to try to say it in a way where you can hear it like I'm kind of hearing it today. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So interpret into some present day English. This is how it went down. When you read this, if you can get past the cutesy Christmas stuff, and you can realize just what went down, because as you know as well, if you've read scripture at all, you understand that not all of the Israelites were believing, quick to believe and trust in God. They were not all King David's, despite his mistakes. There were quite a few number of unbelieving people, even when miracles were happening all around them. So, and I'm saying this because I want you to realize that even God testified of his own people that they were a stiff-necked, rebellious people. And this is what Mary has to deal with. See what happens when you say, "Be it unto me according to your word." So we know the story that the angel of the Lord appears to Mary, right? Gabriel goes to Mary in the sixth month of Elizabeth, her cousin, pregnant with John the Baptist, old woman. Another situation God created because he's happy to do so. It doesn't bother him a bit. For some old lady walking with a cane, she's now pregnant. And her reproach has been taken away from the Lord, so she hides herself. See what God can do to you? God makes you hide. God made her hide. And her husband didn't believe, and he's in the temple doing service unto the Lord, so God smites his tongue. He can't even talk for 9 months. I'm telling you, not everyone's a believer. And I'm not saying he disbelieved for all the wrong reasons, but he was old, well stricken, and she was old, and he just didn't get it. And so the angel said, "Well, you'll be talking when the kid comes." And so all this is going on because whenever God steps into the picture of your life and my life, it does stuff. Stuff that God's not afraid to do if you're not afraid to go along with him. And don't be surprised if there's struggle. Don't be surprised if there's controversy. Don't be surprised if everyone doesn't believe you. Amen? Amen. So here's Mary, and I'm imagining it's like a movie. I mean, what a Jesus movie this would make. I mean, just picture it. Opening scene. You're out there in some field near Nazareth. It's dark. The stars are shining. The camera's panning slowly with some nice, you know, Israelite music playing in the background as the camera pans through sycamore tree after sycamore tree. And it's heading, you don't know quite where it's heading yet, but it is heading towards Mary's house. Post her visit from Gabriel. And you're getting ready for a nice, wonderful Christmas holiday special. Maybe thinking in your mind you're going to show up at the stable and there's going to be Joseph and Mary and a baby and a bunch of gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh and a bunch of happy people all around and maybe some smelly animals to go with it. And somebody's narrating in the background from the book of Matthew, and they begin reading. You can hear them reading the book of the generation of Jesus Christ and the reign. All these wonderful names. This one begat this one, and this one begat this one. And then it comes up to that one line. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And it stops, and the music fades. Then all of a sudden, it cuts to someone slamming their hand down on the table. And a young little girl on the other side of that, with big eyes, as dad's pounding on the table saying, "Now tell me who he is. Tell me the name of the one that got you pregnant." What an opening scene. I'm sorry, am I in the right theater? Yeah, you are. I've never seen it like this before. No, no, you didn't, because they never tell this part. Now, somebody had to be told because somebody found out she's pregnant. And so she's there talking to mom and pop. And she's saying, "This is how it went down. An angel came to me and he said these words." And we can go over to Luke and read those words because Luke was kind enough to tell us. If we only had Matthew and not Luke's version, we would never know the story of Mary. We would only read she was found pregnant with the Holy Ghost, and that's it. That's all the details that we would have. But thank God for Brother Luke that he wrote that history of Gabriel coming to her and saying, "Hail, thou favored of the Lord," and all this conversation back and forth between Gabriel and Mary, and she just trying to say, how's this going to be, seeing I know not a man, and the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you, and that holy thing that shall be formed in you shall be called the Son of the Highest. Can you imagine her telling her daddy all of this when he's red-faced, pounding that kitchen table, not believing what she said? And the mother sitting by, dismayed. And all the close relatives, because you know they married within the family, don't have time to go into the genealogies, but just constantly discovering new details about that are very, very fascinating. How closely related everybody is, including Joseph and Mary. Potentially, I'll just say this much, because it's all embedded in history and in information from centuries ago, but potential grandchildren of two brothers who are grandfather of Joseph and grandfather of Mary, and there they come together, and which shouldn't be hard for us to understand because they married that close in Israel anyhow and in family circles where people were spoused to this one and that one. So very close ties there. But now there's a problem, and the Lord caused it. The Lord caused a problem. Now, he knew in Isaiah 7:14 when Isaiah wrote the words, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." I mean, think of the content. A virgin shall bring forth a son. So some young girl is going to be in trouble. That's part of the prophecy. Because you know it's not going to go over good. Isn't that right? In the midst of a people that already have a hard time really believing the things of God, the majority of them. Insomuch that they didn't even know the Lord from glory was among them. So this is what you're dealing with. This is what Mary had to deal with when she submitted herself to the word of God. Worth it? Oh, you better believe it was worth it. But not without going through some stuff. Praise God. I feel upon my heart today this something coming from the Lord, I believe, saying that you need to fight for your birth. You need to fight for your walk with God. You don't need to lose your fight. Praise the Lord. No matter what you've got to go through, what you've got to endure, your walk with God and Christ being formed in you is worth the fight. It's worth standing for. It's worth going through stuff for. It's worth dealing with the ridicule, the family members that don't understand why you're now born again. Why you've broken the family tradition? Oh, hallelujah. All for the sake of, but what's in me is a holy thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what things Mary had to endure, what she said and pleading with them to say, this is what has happened to me. I don't believe they threw her a fiesta. Praise God. Got it right this time. Thank you, Jesus. I said siesta the last time. They didn't throw her sleepover, no. They didn't throw her a party either. They didn't celebrate with her and said, "Oh, I wish I could have met Gabe." You know that's not the case because we wouldn't read what we read about Joseph. If they're all celebrating, Joseph wouldn't have had to have a dream. But you know that the problem began to circulate through the family, and this one ran to this house, and this one ran to this house. She's pregnant, and she said an angel told her. Insomuch that Joseph was like, "What? What? What's going on here?" He wasn't believing it. He wasn't buying it. And it took the Lord to speak to him and say, "Listen, what she said was truth." Hallelujah. How many times have you had to protect what God had birthed in you when it first started happening? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times did you have to take a stand for what you knew God was forming in your life and protect it? Protect it from classmates. I'm speaking for myself because I got converted during high school, and I had to take stands that landed items in the back of my leg, my school desk being lifted in the air and slammed down. Yeah, we went through some tough stuff because there were spirits that did not want me to live for God, just like they don't want you living for God. We all have our own story to tell where we could say, now my new birth experience was on this wise. This is how it went down. Jesus has a story too. And Jesus wants you to know, I understand your story. Amen. I had one too. Praise God. I had one too. Hallelujah. I know what controversy is. I know what uncomfortableness is. Amen. And we just need to know that he knows, he relates. You're not going through anything that surprises him. But he's so happy when you're willing to go through it so that you can have your own testimony of new birth experience with God. Hallelujah. We read a few nights ago about in Hebrews 10, right, when Paul is rehashing to them, when you remember when you were first illuminated, the afflictions you went through, the trials you went through, the things you went through for me. Because of me, there was persecution, and you endured that persecution along with me, willing to joyfully give me the spoiling of your own goods so that I could continue in this work of God. You were willing to go through with that. What he was saying to that people of God, now don't give up now. Don't throw in the towel and quit now. Continue to fight for what you've got. Fight for your own testimony. It's worth the fight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Isn't it right?
I like look people in the eyes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Are you not worth the fight? But sometimes life bounces us around and we lose the fight. We lose that wanting to fight. We forget, and we have to stir up our pure mind by way of remembrance from the Lord. And it's God in his mercy stirring us up to say, remember how you fought for this. Remember how you didn't care. Remember how careful you were to protect the Christ child. I don't know the boldness of Mary. I don't know what things she said, or I know she had to go through it. You can just read that in the scripture. And I can see that when I'm reading this, I'm reading it not with a sense of like Matthew's writing it with a little sarcasm. He's just saying, this is how it went down. It wasn't pretty. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's not so pretty. She had, what else was she going to say? She had submitted herself to the word of God, and that's always better, and it's always best, even if it's to the disapproval of your family. Yes. Yes. Mary had to have known when she agreed to this, it was going to cause some problems. She had to have known in just that confrontation, without just being overwhelmed with the excitement of the idea and the fact that an angel's talking to her, she had to know, if I agree to this, I'm going to have to explain this. And they're going to have to believe this. I don't know how many still felt like Jesus was an illegitimate kid growing up in Nazareth. Yeah, that's the chick that said she saw an angel. Woo! Because you can't convince everybody. You can't make everybody believe. And when they see you changed, when they see you full of God, when they know your past, huh? Those little sinners that know your past. And I tell you what, don't be surprised when some jughead, either in your family or your friends or your acquaintances or classmates that once knew what you were, when you get converted and you're on fire for God, some of the first things they do, I remember when.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you used to do that.
Yeah.
And they'll outline it. Yeah, I used to. Oh, come on. And then they want to entice you to come back to it. Oh, come on. You're not really that, are you? Everybody has to go through this in one way or another. But, oh, thank God for the testimony. Hallelujah. Thank God that you were once darkness, but now light in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to walk as a child of light, no matter how they feel about it. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And that's what I hear when I read verse 18 all the way down, where he's struggling with this. So that tells you there's a problem. And this is the kind of great stuff that breaks all the traditions, because it's the relatable stuff. It's not the Christmassy stuff that just makes a great, you know, cool movie, you know, ah, baby Jesus, you know, ah, you know, and all that nice stuff. This is the relatable stuff that steps into your life where God can relate to you based upon what he wrote. He wasn't trying to make a Christmas movie. He was trying to express the fact that he was willing to show up in troublesome times and still be a savior. That the troublesome times didn't stop him from being born. The lineage filled with a bunch of knuckleheads didn't stop him from being born. Political unrest didn't stop him from being unborn. Praise the Lord. He still showed up on the scene because he knew who he was. And he knew what he had come to do. And he knew he could do it in whatever time frame he chose to show up in. And I'm thankful for that. That gives me hope in our present time, that no matter how vile things are becoming, I'll say it again, I mean, we can still have a revival. They had revival in the first century. We're going to have it in the 21st, amen? Where people are going to be free from their devils, and they're going to be free from their sin. They're going to be healed, amen? People are going to be converted. Their sins are going to be blotted out. I believe this today. No matter what's going on, they can't stop the revival. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. He's so good, he's so good. Hallelujah. And I'm glad about it, praise God. He's willing to create a testimony in the midst of a bunch of untestimonial stuff. Amen, and his testimony will stand. But Joseph, again, before we go to Galatians for a moment, I'm closing. Maybe. Our little niece. Maybe. But don't count on it. Hallelujah. You're on your tablet longer than I preach, so don't even go there. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. Get straight. But I love you. Praise God. But Joseph's struggling with this, and please understand that he's struggling with this. He's wanting to kick out the bill of divorce and say, we're not going through with this. That was his attitude, because he himself, okay, she messed up, you know. And this isn't what I'm going for. Until the Lord spoke to him in a dream to change his thinking, and thank God he obeyed God. This guy that, according to the lineage of David, was of the direct descent of the kings, that if they still had the kingdom, some people don't think about this sometimes. He's mentioned so little in the New Testament, but Joseph himself, if they still had the kingdom of Israel with kings, Joseph would be a king. It would be King Joseph. Direct descent from Solomon. Praise God. Some don't know that. They don't know that. They don't read it into it and think about it and talk about. But what he did during his time, even though we don't read much of him in the New Testament, he obeyed God. He protected that woman and the child. He did exactly what the Lord, he could have chosen to do something else. When he could have said, I'm not in this because I'm more mindful of what the family's going to say. He had to knowing that the unbelievers would never be satisfied, he had to receive that lady as his wife and still for years on end after that bear the fact that some would still believe she messed around. Yes. Praise God. Yes. When she did not. Amen. So he said, in doing what he did to obey God, I choose to lay hold on eternal life. What God is telling me to do, I choose to lay hold and embrace that regardless of what they say. Amen. And that's powerful. And that's a testimony to us. Even though we don't read much about him, we read, I choose this thing. I obey God. Look, we can obey God. Some of us don't go through half the intensity that those two went through just to have that child. And if they chose to obey God, we could choose to obey God. Some of us just have a bad hair day. And some were wondering whether or not they want to go to church tonight because their hair's not cooperating. Not talking about myself, of course. What are you laughing about back there? But you see how weak we can be? We need to learn how to fight for this and know that it's worthy to be fought for. And get a fight in our spirit for our own walk with God. See, I can look back and I wish that there were moments where I could go back into my early days and change some of my conversations with people, because my zeal was at kind of an all-time high. And a lot of times, zeal without knowledge, without wisdom. But I was zealous because nobody was taking this from me. I didn't care who it was. So there might have been some people that, you know, like Peter whacking off Malchus's ear. I might have done that, but I didn't do it intentionally. I was just doing that to defend because I wanted this, and no matter how some of them felt about it, they weren't taking it from me. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy dealing and learning the spiritual side of my walk with God as I traipsed my way through high school, hearing kids screaming out Baal in the hallways. They didn't know why they were doing that. But God knew Bobby and I were walking with God, and we were praying and fasting and seeking God and being called into the ministry. And there are spirits to try to discourage that, and spirits to let us know they know. Yeah. Like we cared, right? Glad you know. But they showed up. And these are the spiritual things that we saw. And there were those moments that tried to oppose us to get us to be kind of, you know, to trip up and to rejoice in our tripping up. But it's worth fighting for. It really is. Okay. Let's go to Galatians here. And again, you can read it for yourself. But try to. All I'm trying to say here today from the Lord is that your walk is worth fighting for. Mary had to fight for it. Joseph had to fight for it. I don't know. We could just only speculate at what the family was feuding about, whether or not they wanted this to happen. What if Joseph said, I'm marrying her? And his side of the family said, no, you're not. And Mary said, I'm marrying him. And they said, no, you're not. You're not going to bring shame on us. See, it's not always pretty. And God knew it. But it's not about being pretty. It's about obeying God. And it's better, right? Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Isn't that what it's written in Hebrews chapter 11? Moses chose, instead of the grandeur of Egypt and being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he chose the afflictions with the people of God. He chose to put himself under the umbrella of slavery, under the umbrella of the rejected and the sought after. He put himself in that position by saying yes to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I want to say yes today. No matter what, I want to say it's worth living for God. It's worth causing some trouble. It's worth some people not understanding why you make a choice to continue living for God when they feel like you should have made this one. This one would have been better opportunity in their eyes. But let me tell you something. Anytime you ever refuse something because you feel like it's going to mess with the call of God in your life, you can never outdo God. There'll never be an opportunity that seems lost that is greater than any opportunity the Lord God of heaven and earth can give you as a result of you choosing him first. Amen? Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. That's what the word says, that the earth is the Lord's. You can never, there's never an opportunity coming from darkness that will ever be greater than the opportunity that will come from the light. Oh, praise God. Fight for this thing. Praise God. Praise God. Don't let Herod get the kid. Hallelujah. It's always something still wanting to go after the kid. Protect the Christ in you. Is that okay? I haven't been too long, right? I haven't been too long. Galatians 4. The enemy doesn't want Christ to be formed in you. He wants to destroy your walk with God. And when you become wise enough to see that, the wisdom that you gain puts this fight in you. When you see it, when you see Herod coming, see, Joseph was a key moment. God spoke to him again and said, hightail it out of here, because he's coming after the kid. Joseph said, all right, I'm out of here. Left Israel. Again, he's doing something that's pretty major. He's leaving the home of his nativity. out of Israel and putting himself, in a sense, in harm's way. Not realizing he's fulfilling scripture, for out of Egypt have I called my son, but nevertheless he's obeying God regardless. When you obey God, things happen when you don't understand it, not realizing that you're fulfilling the word of God. That's powerful. It's not just about as it is written by the prophet, this prophet or that prophet. Every time you obey God, you're a part of all the word of the prophets. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that your choice to obey God, that someone could write as it is written? So-and-so did this, as it is written, and write some scripture that represents your choice to serve God. Because every one of us are a part of, by new birth experience, all of the as it is written. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just chew on that a while. Galatians 4, Paul, this whole epistle is Paul writing to the Gentiles because there's a problem. Chapter 4, we're going to read, glory, let's see where I want to start here, there's so much to say. I'm going to kind of pop down here in verse 15. Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record, this is Galatians chapter 4, verse 15. Where is then the blessedness that you spoke of? For I bear record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And that he's talking about when he was among them and preaching to them. And even though he was in bonds and there were circumstances and afflictions he was enduring, they received him and joined themselves and heard the gospel and were converted. And he said, now am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Praise God. So there was a problem, and if you read the whole epistle, there were people coming in trying to bring them under the bondage of Mosaic law, which all the apostles testified that if you do that, you fall from grace. You don't go backwards, always forward. And the types of things that were being taught to them were going contrary to the teaching of the apostles, especially Paul, who taught the fulfillment of the law in Christ, and that there were certain things of law that were no longer of effect because he took that first covenant away, they may establish a second. But my point in reading this to you today was the fact that he expressed to them that he had to labor again now, all because of an enemy coming around, tripping them up, indoctrinating them, right? False teachers, false prophets, people trying to tear them away from the teaching of the apostles. He said, now I've got to labor again in travail until Christ be formed in you. Always something after the kid. It's worth fighting for. No matter what you go through, it's worth fighting for. I tell you, at the end of the day, you will realize that the fight you went through is nothing compared to the fight he went through and others go through. It's worth the fight. Amen? It's worth the fight. Let's all stand and let's pray. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. 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 We love you today. We love you today. We love you today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Almighty God. Hallelujah. Look at your life right now before the Lord. Look at where you are. Look at what you're going through. And I ask you, is it worth the fight? All that you've been through, What you're becoming in his name, is it worth it? Hallelujah, Jesus. Will you see yourself through his eyes and not the eyes of your lineage, not the eyes of what you've been when you were living in sin, not the controversy that's around you that he started as a result of bringing you into this gospel? There are some that struggle greatly with these things, and they can't give in all the way because of reservations that they have. We can't have any reservations. We just got to say, be it unto me. Hallelujah. Let Christ be formed in me. And I'm not going to give him up. Nobody's aborting him. Praise the Lord. You hear what I just said? I said, nobody's aborting him. I'm not going to yield myself to some spirit, some dumb teaching, or anything else that will abort Christ in me, the hope of glory. They abort him, you successfully yield yourself, that you fall away, your hope is gone. Hallelujah. You're not taking him. Praise God. Oh, thank God. Thank God she didn't live in our day. Family would have said, go to the clinic and abort him. Hallelujah. No. What I've got in me is holy. Hallelujah, and worth fighting for. Amen. One more time, let's lift up our heart and our hands to heaven. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for making us a part of your generation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are the generation of Jesus. Hallelujah. That shall declare his righteousness. We are. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for listening today. I hope I said something that made sense to you. I'm trying to, it's not always easy because you hear it, you feel it, you see it. It's like, now how do I say it? How do I say it that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, willing to endure what he endured. And now he turns to you and says, you can endure. I did this for you. And it was okay with me. I didn't care. I didn't care what trouble it caused. He's just going to cause some good trouble. There's just no way around it. There's no clean way to serve God. There's no nice way to do it where everybody's happy with it. Somebody's not going to be happy that Jesus is in you. And that's okay. God, help us make a bunch of people unhappy. It might mean their conversion. It's when they're too happy, I might get concerned. When they're too comfortable around us, I might be concerned. Because his birth... Now, we celebrate the birth at this time of the year, and everybody gets happy, gives presents, go out. They're all out buying trees, and they're going to decorate, and we just fanfare it all. But I'm telling you what, his birth, when he showed up, he caused families to split and have struggles, and he caused a king to hate his guts and seek his life. Oh, yeah. There was no gift-giving then. No one putting up a Christmas tree. No one sending cards. It was just, who's born again? Who's here? The king. No, we can't have that. Oh, you're pregnant? No man? An angel? Oh, God overshadowed your belly? Oh, boy, we better get Joey on the phone. Don't be too blinded by tradition. I'm not shooting it down. I'm just saying, when the real Jesus is in town, stuff happens. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. One more time, let's just clap our hands. Thank you for listening. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. God bless you today. Hallelujah. And let's expect some good things this month. Amen. A lot of people are going to start thinking about church, and I'm glad for it. We want them here. Amen. We want to see some people really get a hold of God this time and see some good things happen. God bless you.